This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You and I have unfinished business.
The first rule of Fight Club is you do not talk about Fight Club.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
Get away from her, you...
Ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
At the movies on BFM 89.9.
I'm Umar Pagan, I'm PK Pagan, joined as always by Ian McNally and Bahe Yusuf. Today we are reviewing Mahaguru, the latest film by Zed Lokman. And the reason we are reviewing this is thanks to the good folks on Twitter.
I blame all of you. I blame each and every one of you for this.
Essentially, we put a call out on Twitter and we said that we will go review this film. We saw the trailer and the trailer looked painful. And we thought, what better way to torture Bahe than actually make him review this movie? And we said, if we reach 1,300 followers on Twitter, we will go watch this film. And in 24 hours, we reached 1,477 followers.
Yep.
That is the biggest increase in our Twitter followers ever. It is really quite amusing. And so we decided to subject Bahe, especially Bahe. I mean, all of us suffered, but especially Bahe, to this cinematic masterpiece called Mahaguru.
Yeah.
So...
Where to begin?
I think we can begin
at the
by
beginning.
Saying that there is no subtitles in this film. So yeah. Ian,
what's this movie about?
The better part of 90 minutes just watching the visuals.
Just full 90 minutes of considering my life choices that brought me to this point. Someone was digging holes. The people who live in a kampung that's a load of chalets in a swimming pool in a like hotel thing, and they're fighting these other guys who want to steal something from them.
Mm.
Is that right?
Pretty much. You got the gist of it.
Plus Islam.
Plus Islam.
Plus Islam. Islam all over the place.
Yes. That is pretty much what this movie is. There is some silat.
There's a lot of silat.
Okay, there's a lot of silat.
There's a lot of bad silat.
And then there's this conspiracy to take this land away from the Mahaguru, the Tok Janggut.
Mm-hmm.
There is also moments of teaching where they will suddenly spout Islamic values.
That was all lost on me.
To random people who show up and apparently need help. That is the plot of this film.
Yeah.
The production value feels like 1980s pornography.
1980s pornography had better production values.
Yeah. It had better lighting, that's for sure.
Like,
I don't know if it had better music, though. Yeah. I mean, some of the musical choices in this film
were
phenomenal.
They were choices.
The editing in this movie between the music cues and the background noise, like you actually get, I got audio whiplash from was going from a 1-2 shot, and like in one shot it's like quiet jungle noise, and in the other there's a truck going by and it goes back and forth and they didn't take out the truck or put it in both.
Yeah.
So it's just, the scenes start with people just appearing in living rooms. There's no establishing shots at all in this movie.
Wait, sorry.
There are three, and there are buildings that I don't think are anywhere related to each other. They're in some mystical city. Did they say the city?
No.
No, they never say the city, right?
No.
It's just the city folk are bad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
City folk are bad, trying to steal land away from good Muslim people.
Yeah. Mm.
That's pretty much it.
Who do slow motion silat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like they got a real group of Silat guys in to be the extras in the background who are supposedly the students. Meanwhile, the masters are not wearing, because the Silat guys are just wearing their actual outfit, their geese or whatever they call them. The masters are just dressed in slubby clothes and do the exact same thing but at half speed.
Because they're teaching guys.
They're teaching.
You got to know.
So when they're fighting the bad guys as well, they're also teaching them, are they?
Yes, yeah. It's still in half speed, yeah. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say.
I think we should just talk to Bahe. Bahe, how was this experience for you?
Painful. This movie was painful. This movie was particularly painful for me because a lot of what you're saying about all these like Islamic teachings and stuff, and it, oh God, it's, I don't know. I don't even know anymore, guys. I don't know. Look, there's a bunch of sort of like, I don't know, Islamic teachings. The moral values up the wazoo in this film. They're just moral values in your face and everywhere you look. The moral values that are just randomly sprouted and spouted just because just because.
Moral values, not production values.
No, production value. There's no production value to be seen. And it's characters get introduced in the middle, characters show up, and then you never see them again.
Random characters change outfits between scenes.
Because
I couldn't understand what was going on. I was like, I got lost at one point because one guy put on a hat. He's like, he changed clothes completely between two scenes. And I thought it was a different guy. And it was also location was changed as well.
Also,
I was like, who's that guy? It was like, that's Eddie. He put on a hat and went to pray. I was like, what?
Can I say, this might be one of three movies that I've seen in my life with a Bertaubat montage, a repentance montage. Mm.
These repentance montages tend to happen later on after they've, you know, felt the full fury of God on them, right? This movie just happens really quickly.
Repentance montage sounds like a great name for a spoken word album.
There's some elements of drugs being bad, you know, like,
yeah, where were the drugs? I didn't see the drugs. No, but someone mentioned that drugs were Satan, right?
Yes.
No, but here's the thing, that's what the Mahaguru is. He's got like a school, rehabilitation school, that uses silat as a way to stop people from doing drugs. Mm-hmm. Apparently that works. I don't know how well.
Oh, because was Ali? Was he a druggie as well as a thief?
No, he was just a thief.
No, I think that was the implication, that he was a druggie.
Oh, that was the thing we should talk about as well. The flashbacks being just like incredibly sudden and in completely different quality of video, yeah, and in different style and just like, yeah.
There were a couple of flashbacks that just literally popped up on screen. Mm. Literally popped up on screen. Speaking of popped up, people just pop up everywhere. I don't know what's going on.
You could be sitting in your living room writing an essay, suddenly, and someone just barges in and goes, "You!"
Yeah.
No, but there was no. But I didn't even know what day it was. Was that the next day? Was it 3 days later? Because they were wearing the same clothes.
That's the thing. Some people were in the same clothes. Some people were changing clothes every scene.
Yeah.
Like, there's no establishing shots of someone walking. No one walks through a door in this movie.
No.
They're always in the place or outside the place.
Yeah.
One, because I think the disused hotel they were using, they didn't have keys access to the chalets. And two is they just didn't want to get, like, they're using one office as three separate locations at one point. Hey, shooting different corners. But
I've
you
done
can
that.
See the other, yeah, but you can't see the other corner. You can see the vases down the hallway that the Dato was polishing in the previous scene.
Yeah.
And he's just gotten off the phone with him. So why didn't he just go down the corridor? And then the production values as well. The tiniest Chris in the world is like a plot point near the end.
It is. And it just pops out of nowhere, right? Mm. Absolutely nowhere. Every single plot point in this film is just thrown at you. Look, land. Look, gold. Look, Chris. Look, I have ancestors who are great warriors.
What?
Look,
I am... To be honest, I didn't get the gold until you explained it afterwards. I just thought they were digging for dirt. They just have these, like, what are they, bamboo poles
bamboo
or something?
Poles,
and digging in the dirt, and the guy's picking at what they get. And I'm like, is it drugs? Are they looking for Curly's lost gold? That's what it was.
All of the women in this film either serve Tok Janggut or are used as seductresses in some way or other.
Mm. Which is a very subtle seduction right until the point she just throws an envelope in his face and then leaves.
Yes. Here, I'm going to seduce you with money.
Let's move to the other couch.
Just the listeners out there may think we're joking. No. At one point,
they're talking on one couch.
Yeah, and then she literally goes, "Let's go over there and continue seducing."
Oh, did she say that?
Yeah, she does. She goes, "Let's go over there."
They just stood up and moved couch to a close up, and I was like, "That's weird."
Yeah, they just literally moved to another couch and continued the conversation / seduction.
You know what my greatest disappointment in this movie was? And there are many. The greatest disappointment in this movie was that I didn't get to see the CGI bullet that was in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah.
So we're watching the trailer and there's this gunshot and a CGI bullet is flying through the air. Not in the film.
And it's not like, it's not even something where he's firing a gun at one of the Sealat guys who's trying to get something. This is the bad guy. It's just a random robber.
Yeah.
And not only that, they actually approach the shifty-looking sweaty guy. He sweats so... He's just like, his acting was like, "You're a sweaty guy. That's your motivation." Like, he's constantly rubbing his face.
Yeah.
Right?
No, but that's how you know he's shifty.
Yeah, but then so he's shifty and he's standing in the laneway and they approach him. I thought they were like compadres or something like that. They were going to hire him to go steal something.
Yeah.
And no, they just go stand by this shifty looking dude and then 30 seconds later he steals her bag.
Yes, because they didn't have a lens that was wide enough to get a wide shot. So they kept saying, "No, you have to move closer because I can't catch you in shot."
They had one lens.
They had one lens.
I love what you said after that gunfire though. It's like, no one else in the neighborhood once he's bothered because all the people in the background is walking around. Just like walking around,
motorcycles driving by, and he fired like 4 shots in a crowded shop lot.
How much do you think this movie cost to make?
Judging by, I mean, wait, did the color grading get better or did my eyes get worse?
I think it was probably your eyes got worse.
Yeah, because it was like they were shooting on some kind of camera that doesn't handle like pointing at the sun very well. Like there was a lot of, when they were fighting earlier, there's a fight at one point where it just goes black.
Yes.
Because they're pointing the camera upwards at the guys, and there's a whole load of different shots like that. And then the whole movie's just green. You sent it to the ISO, right?
I don't know if they did like color correction. They probably didn't bother. They just probably just like edited it together and then literally slapped some music on this.
It didn't even fit the full screen, did it?
No, it was a really weird aspect ratio.
Yeah. Must be like an old, I don't know.
DV cam.
DV camera. I've shot on DV cams before. Yeah. It's fine. I don't know, guys. Why? What is this movie? The worst part of this is the fact that he's got another one coming out in December.
That's right. Maybe if we get a 3,000 followers,
what's
we
December?
Make
December this year. I can't do two of these. I can't do two of these before Christmas. Come on. Let's bring a book on tape next time. Something to listen to.
Bring a podcast or something.
Yeah.
It's coming out in a month.
It's coming out in a month. How did this guy have two movies made in the same year? I mean,
Is he the Stan Lee of awful movies?
Well, look, this movie probably cost him, I don't know, 2,000 ringgit, 3,000 ringgit, and some nasi lemak. But I think at the end of the day, he's got two coming out this year.
So 6,000 ringgit and some nasi lemak.
Has he got a nice car and a nice new house as well?
I don't think so.
Well, I don't know if this movie actually got any public funding. I mean, there's a special thanks PowerPoint slide at the end of the film, which makes up the bulk of the credits.
Yeah.
There was just credits. That and well, then no, the end.
They had the credits at the beginning, so I guess they decided they didn't want to do it twice.
No, but then...
Because it had everybody. It had all 16 people who were involved at the
that's
beginning.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, it didn't have like,
all 16 people, which were probably as many people who've seen this movie in the cinemas. But so it had this special thanks where it thanked Finas, groups like Saniman,
Profuma. No, but that could be indicative of the special thanks,
yeah, right?
It also indicative of the fact that maybe they got what.
Thanks for not standing in the way of releasing our movie.
Yeah. I don't know if they got public funding.
I don't think you need public funding.
For that?
No. No. It's getting a group of your friends together and then shooting something.
I've made VHS videos in the backyard and that had better production quality than this.
But this is what it looks like, right? This looks like a guy with a bunch of his friends pulling together and saying, hey, I know a Silat guy. And, oh, hey, let's do a Silat movie. And it was just one of those things.
You forgot Harry Potter.
I was just going to say, peak Mahaguru was when the Harry Potter soundtrack started playing.
Yeah, and
in its entirety.
Unlike Pelissimo, this is not a sound alike. This is the actual Harry Potter tune.
Harry Potter
and
soundtrack.
It's from the beginning. It's like, I think it's from the first one, I think, was the version they played. And it's from the beginning all the way. It fades out. You think, oh, they must have wised up. And like, nope, back again.
No, because when that first bits came out, I'm like, wait, can't be.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, maybe they found something that sounded somewhat similar.
Nope.
It was the actual soundtrack. It's got everything. And it's got everything. It's the full orchestral soundtrack.
And it's not even at any kind of climactic moment.
It's not even like a magical moment.
No.
It's just some random moment.
I don't think you can describe anything but this movie.
One of the women was trying to seduce one of the guys, and they were both just sitting still.
What? Were you kidding? Did she get bitten by a scorpion?
That's what she said.
Not just twisted her ankle?
No. She said... ouch, help me.
And was he supposed to suck the poison out or something?
He was looking for the spot and he couldn't find it.
For about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Meanwhile, she was stroking his arm lovingly.
I can't find the spot. Where's the spot? I can't find the spot. This just keeps going on and on and on.
That's the closest this movie gets to a sex scene.
This is a terrible film.
It's a cinematic car crash.
I don't know. This is a cinematic wildfire.
It's not even cinematic. Like even on VHS, this would still be awful.
No, completely. There's no redeeming feature. It's not cute. There's no heart. It's not even so bad. It's good.
The one redeeming feature is the guy in the kampung wearing an I Love Paris t-shirt.
It's a little boy.
That's like, I mean, you can see half the clothes they're wearing seem to have come from Goodwill or something like that. They've obviously gone rummaging through secondhand shops.
But I don't think that was a wardrobe department.
It was just, because people's clothes change a lot. That's his good shirt. It's like going to be in a movie. Put him a good I Love Paris shirt.
Oh, no, but that's the point, right? Like, if you're in a production, if these scenes were supposed to happen over several days, maybe change
out
his shirt.
You're asking too much of this
I know
movie.
I'm asking too much of this movie.
I'm thinking the same day that they changed the clothes.
Oh,
I mean,
quite a few of
I
those,
was paying
actually.
A lot of attention to these details because I had no idea what was going on.
The director of the movie plays a mama store owner.
Yeah.
And It's like they couldn't find an actual mama person or an actual Indian person. He has the worst Indian accent ever. He's like,
completely over my head.
You want nasi goreng? Delicious.
They've got some random Bollywood music playing in the background.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And that's how you signify it's an Indian place you're in.
Yeah. Just like one of the villains is Thai by playing weirdly racial Chinese music.
Chinese music, yeah.
Correct.
And also he's incredibly flamboyant and wears sunglasses that you can see the camera crew in.
Exactly. That. Yeah. It is just one step shy of going ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, it was pretty close.
It was pretty close to that. Somehow more offensive.
It was.
Like, I mean, if this was actually a little bit worse, it would have been great. Like, I mean, the mic got bumped a few times. I think you were pointing at the mic.
If it had actually gotten in frame,
that would have been great.
Me and Julian, the intern, saw the shadow from the boom.
Oh, really?
There was on the door frame, there was the shadow. You could see the shadow of the boom. So that was that. You could see the camera crew in sunglasses, which is always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, trying to count how many people behind the camera. Oof.
There was only one, wasn't there?
It's about two, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Mahaguru is no longer in cinemas. So you're not going to have a chance to watch it. But if you happen to catch it on YouTube at some point, we'd really like to know what you think. You can tweet me. I'm on @UmaPagan.
I'm on @McNassyPrime.
I'm @BahiWai.
And we're on @TheMoviesMY.
Keep following us on @TheMoviesMY. And, you know, if we hit 3,000 followers very, very soon, we'll make Bahir watch his next movie in a month.
Please stop sending us these trailers. Please stop making us watch these movies.
You're listening to At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.